We didn't have any snow. Who are snow people? Okay. You like snow? Good. Good. And we had no snow this year. I always like a big powerhouse snowstorm that comes in, but it would be nice, but our son, our one that's in Liberty, I don't know if I shared this before, he's on the snowboard team. So they're supposed to have nationals in California this week. And so they go to Mammoth, and they just got pounded with like 5 to 7 feet of snow. So they're going out there. They said the problem is even at the lodge there, they had to shut the lodge down to treat, you know, go and do explosions for the avalanches because it was so much snow. And then I was talking to a friend that they were going. We wanted to get out there. It just didn't happen. But they were going to go out and go skiing. And the base for snow out there is 203 inches of snow. That's their base. 203 inches. That's, what is that, 20 feet or something like that? Unbelievable. Anyway. Okay, this day in history, March 5th. Does anyone know March 5th what happened in 1770? The Boston Massacre. The Boston Massacre happened in Boston. Yeah, sure. And it had, so in 1770 in Boston, there is the Boston Massacre, which did take place today, and that was really a kickoff to American Revolution when, just some patriots were mowed down during a protest by the British soldiers, and that really stemmed more of the chaos taking place, and which led more into our independence. And since we're talking about American history, which vegetable was not allowed on the Mayflower? The leek. Just so you know, the leek was not allowed on the Mayflower. I don't know if that vegetable is allowed on any boats, but nonetheless, that's the joke for today. So we're continuing to move on with James. The book of James, as we've been continuing down through James. Once again, James, the half-brother of Jesus. James was not a believer in Jesus at the time of Jesus' ministry. James became a believer after Jesus was dead, buried, and rose again, and James came face to face with Christ and changed his life. So that's where we're at this morning. Let's just open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how your word can just change our life. We thank you for your son Jesus who died for us. And Lord, we just ask that you just speak to us this morning. Help us in all areas of our life where we are. Speak to us this morning that we can grab something from what James taught so long ago and is still teaching us today that we can apply to our life to better serve you and to better serve people. And we pray for that. We pray for everybody in here that we can just understand your words this morning and just speak to us. We pray. This morning we're talking about James 2. We're going to be at verses 14 through 26. And the title today is called True Faith Leads to Action, or True Faith Leads to True Action. And James brings out with three questions that he starts off with right away. Three questions in 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Two questions are right there. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Question number one. Question number two. Can such faith save him? He goes on to say, suppose a brother or sister, without clothes and daily food, if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Another question. What good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. James comes out to tell us and to speak to all of us, and we're speaking to the Christians here at this time, the Jewish Christians that were scattered, and he's still calling out and instructing them about faith. Faith and deeds, working together. So out of these questions, during this time frame, you could, you know, the Jews were brought up and taught the Bible, the Old Testament. So many of these people said, well, yeah, I believe, I'm a believer. I believe in God. And this was going on throughout the early church, throughout the people, the Jews at the time, because I believe in God. And James would say, well, that's great, you believe in God. But without these deeds, what's taking place, without true, genuine faith, that should be producing deeds. True, genuine faith in our life should be producing deeds. We see it with unbelievers, right? We see it with people that do not believe. People that are on the just living a worldly lifestyle. They don't believe in anything. And what is producing out of their life? What deeds? We see deeds all the time. I was reading an article this morning just about the murder rate in a city, and a pastor was calling it out and just said, this is crazy. And they just, we see our world being torn apart by all these deeds of wicked people. Wickedness is going on, and we have bad deeds. James is saying, as Christians, where are your deeds? That's what he's calling out this morning. In verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Is your faith dead? Is my faith dead? If it's not accompanied with an action, it's dead. Verse 18, but some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe and shudder. Even the demons believe and shudder. We know in the spiritual realm, right, we there's a whole realm that we know takes place in the spiritual world. We know there's angels and we know there's demons. And we know the cause that demons have, and we know the cause that angels have, and we can see, we can't see it all the time, right? But we know this battle is taking place because we hear about it from the beginning of time till right now, and it's taking place. So we know this battle is taking place. And James is saying, believers, even you say you're a believer, but don't have deeds. If you're lifestyle as a believer isn't producing some type of deed in your life, your faith is dead. Dead. Then he calls out in verse 20, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? And he goes back to Abraham. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. This debate, faith and deeds, there's been a debate throughout history. Some people have taken this and said, well, look, And denominations had taken this and said, look, we need to have work. You are saved, and they're saying, they would say, James is saying, you're saved by your work. James is not saying that whatsoever here. Because James knows how we are saved through Christ alone. But people have taken this out of context. And I truly, I believe that Satan loves that division amongst the church to pull the Bible apart, to pull people apart. So there's segments of people that say, hey, this is you're saved through faith and works. Well, no. Or they're saying, you can believe anything you want. And you can do whatever you want. And if you're a believer, who cares? No. And we have these two extremes on each side of Christianity. And that was taking place here. And James is saying there has to be a faith that's producing some type of action. And he goes and calls out Abraham. And what do we know about Abraham? Abraham. He and his wife prayed for many years for a child, right? And finally, God spoke to him and said, you're going to have a son. He's like, how can this be? Aaron's old. This isn't going to happen. And he gave that promise. And then, of course, as we know, Abraham, as humans, right, we don't have patience all the time, and we're pushing God. No, well, God, you're too slow. We got to do this. We have to do what we want to do. So he sleeps with Hagar, right? And they have Ishmael out of wedlock, which is, you know, leads into our another issue, another whole problem. But God was still telling him, I'm going to give you a son. So they waited and waited, and then finally they had a son, and they start to raise this son. And I know people that have tried many years for children, and then they finally get one. And what's their whole desire? Everything they do is wrapped up with that child. Because they waited for so long. They wanted a child. And then finally they have this child. And I'm assuming maybe Abraham and Sarah were that same type of way. I don't know. That's an assumption. Did they just love this little guy so much? And they watched him grow and they brought him up. And as he was getting older, then all of a sudden, God says, Abraham, you need to sacrifice this child. What? I'm sure. So I don't know what was going on in his mind or Sarah's mind. But if you think about that, that testing of faith, so much so that they, what we know, and this is what James is saying, that Abraham was credited for righteousness for what he did. He walked out and took his son to the mountain, up to the altar, raised the knife. We know the story, and God stopped him. But what an example of faith and action working together. That's not to be confused with faith and actions for salvation. And other than there's one thing, let's look at the thief on the cross. Remember I told you before that James, for me, was an anchor point on my belief in Christ. You know, I go back if I have some doubts, as Satan puts stuff into our heads and I have a doubt, I go back as an anchor point to James, him being the brother and where he was. Thief on the cross is another anchor point for me. You see in Mark 15, verse, I'm going to read that, Mark 15, 32. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, and that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him, those thieves that were crucified with him, also heap insults on him. So Mark is telling us that the thief on the cross, there's two of them that we know of, that they were heaping insults as well as the other people that were walking around, and Jesus was left there all by himself to die on that cross. And the thieves next to Jesus were also heaping insults upon him. That's in Mark. Then we also see in Luke this transformation of one of the thieves. Luke 23. And I'm just going to read this, 39 through 44. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, at Christ. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise." Salvation. The only deed that this thief on the cross did was say, "Jesus, I believe, I trust you, remember me, and I'm confessing that you are God and you are Lord." That's what this thief did. So his deed was an acceptance and a confession of Jesus as Lord, as the Savior. We get into many denominations and they say, "Well, you know, you need to be baptized to be saved." Well, the Jesus, I don't see Jesus saying here, "Hey, keep on the cross." Well, no, you can't get to heaven because, you know, you got to get off that cross, you got to run down the street, and you got to get baptized, and then come back, and then I can get you into heaven today. He didn't say that. Did he say, and some people say, "Well, it's all by works." Jesus didn't say, "Well, keep on the cross." And remember, they only had a couple hours that they were living here. This was a bad time. So they knew they were all dying. Jesus didn't say to this thief, "Yep, you can be with me in heaven today, but you got to get off the cross, and you have to go take care of these poor people and do a bunch of deeds for these orphans and widows over here, and then I can let you into the kingdom." He doesn't say that at all. The faith and the deeds that were working through this thief on the cross only happened by one deed, and that was a confession of Jesus as being our Savior, that Jesus was our payment. And we see that in 1 John, very clear in 1 John 8 and 9. First John chapter 1, verse 8. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin." The only deed that transpired from this thief on the cross was a confession of his sin and an asking and a belief into Jesus as being the true Messiah, the true Savior. That's when we need to go back and remember, when we're looking at James, James isn't calling out that faith and deeds equal salvation. James is calling out, if you are a true, genuine believer, then you should have these things coming out of your life, these deeds that are principles given to us that we see through Christ, then they should be filtering out of our life, these works of faith. That's what he's saying, because at the time here, there is believer. They claimed to be believers, but they weren't helping each other. They weren't taking care of one another. they would believe, but they didn't really believe, and that's what James is calling out. Faith and deeds have to be working themselves out as believers very naturally. It just kind of happens, like when you fire up your car. You go in, you sit down, now they have the push buttons. I hate the push button cars. You know, they have the push button. Just give me my key. Let me put it in my ignition and turn it on. But then you have the push button and it doesn't work. Anyway, I love the key. So you go into your car, you turn the car on, and it fires up. And as long as there's gas in that car, the motor's running. And it's producing a deed. It's running. It's going. And it's runs out of gas. Actually, the other, sorry, Jance, I'm going to use this a couple weeks ago, he calls me, he's like, Dad, I'm here and I'm down by Joanna and my car just died. It just died. I don't know what happened. So I'd be right down. So got the tow ropes and he couldn't get it started. And his gas tank said quarter of a tank. And well, here it was his gas tank meter or gauge was off. So we towed it all over the place to get it to the, and we found out after it was at the mechanic that it was simply out of gas. In our Christian life, as believers, we should have these deeds that are just producing. We run out of gas, and many times people get burnout. They run out of gas, or they give up. Or life has gotten so hard amongst the trials that we give up. And we stop producing deeds. Those things need to be taking place continually in our life. And that's what James is saying for us as believers. We need to be producing a true, genuine faith as a believer. Should be producing deeds, actions. These actions take place. Verse 25, James chapter 2 says, if the man looks, oops, sorry, that was one. I was going to say, that's not the verse. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Pulls out Rahab. Rahab, which we know, a prostitute, and we hear about Rahab's deeds as an unbeliever, known as a prostitute, but what do we know? As she was in Jericho, and the spies came in from Israel, and she had a deed. If you go back to and read about Rahab and her conversation with the Jewish spies that came in, she says she claimed and pushed out of her belief in God. So she was saying, I believe, I have faith in God. Because they heard the stories of the Israelites coming into the region there, and just devastating towns and cities of the power of the Israeli God, our God. That's the God that we serve. They heard of the parting of the sea, and they heard all these miraculous things that God did. And in Jericho, Rahab saying, man, we are scared. We're scared of your God. And she said, I believe on who your God is. And yes, I will help you. That's what James is saying here. Rahab stepped out with a deed in her faith. So her faith in God, even as a prostitute, a dirty prostitute, a dirty, sinful person, which we all are, right? We're all dirty, sinful people. And we're not going into that whole phase, but as people who are sinners, the faith, even as Rahab, who was living this lifestyle, came out and produced these deeds based on her belief of faith. That's what happened, and we know that the Jewish spies escaped. I imagine what that conversation was. I often thought about what were these spies talking about on the way after they left Rahab's place, right? Can you believe that she hit us and, you know, we got out and she lied for us and we escaped and now we have to save this woman and her family? And I'm sure they're like, but how can we save her? She's a prostitute. What are we going to tell the people back at camp? I mean, I just imagine what they were talking about. Nonetheless, the spies and the Jewish people held to their obligation and their word to Rahab. Rahab held to her commitment. And then we see Rahab in many parts of Scripture, all, even in the lineage of Jesus himself, was Rahab, a faithful woman. With her faith was producing deeds, the deeds that should be overflowing out of our life. Verse 26, and this is where we'll be closing out. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This morning, I walked down the side of the church and all the tombstones, and, you know, there's dead people in the cemetery. There's no spirit in them. And we know our spirit, you know, our spirit within us, our personality, what makes us tick. And you know, family members or friends, and you know their personality, that spirit. What's that spirit gone? We're dead. Have you ever been with anybody that's been on a respirator or, you know, plugged in the hospital on their deathbed? And they're not there, but they're plugged in. What's keeping them alive? It's just electric. And once you pull the plug, you know, their spirit is already gone. The only thing keeping them alive is this pumping of their heart and pumping of lungs. So by, you know, the beep, 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 by that EKG machine or whatever that is, nurses, whatever that's called, it shows that they're alive. But really, they aren't there. Their spirit has gone. And you unplug that machine and it just all shuts down. James is saying, just as our body, in the same way as our body, without the spirit, is dead, faith without deeds as a Christian believer is dead. Where's our faith? Where's our deeds? We can, this week, I encourage all of us just to step back, and we get busy. We're taking care of stuff. We're working. We're doing everything in our world that we do. If we step back this week in our quiet time and prayer time, just to step into, don't be selfish, but I'm asking you to be selfish this week. Be selfish and just look internally at yourself. And I do the same thing all the time. And ask yourself, are my faith and deeds where they should be as a believer? Just as James is saying, are my faith and my deeds doing what should be taking place? And just kind of reflect on that. And if there's something that, okay, I need to do this more, or, you know, I feel the Lord wants me to do this, but I don't have the faith to do that. Or I feel scared to do this. Whatever it may be. Or that whatever's going on in your life, that God might be saying, hey, I want you to review that. Looking at our faith, and then applying that to the deeds that are coming out of us. Not for salvation, not for salvation whatsoever. Specifically for just to serve God and people. So I'll throw that out there for you to review this week on a selfish note. Then, not as a selfish note, if God is prompting you to say, hey, you know what, my coworker or that person you knew or know, and I have faith, and I feel like the Lord, or I've been convicted that I need to share the gospel with this person, do it. Sharing the gospel is our job. It's not that the church's job, but as individuals, our job is to share Christ. That's our job. So that's within your thought process this week. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to help you and step out and do it. All of us need to be doing that same thing. Let's pray this morning. Father God, you are the true King. You created all things. And we're just these small individuals in this time in history. And we're here together. And we're calling out to you. I'm calling out to you, Lord, and just say, use us. If we're old or if we're young, it doesn't matter. Help us to have this faith that's working in our life, that's producing these deeds, as James is talking about. Help that faith within us to spill out in a great way to serve you, to serve others. Speak to us this week as we reflect on where our faith and our deeds should be. And we thank you for all that you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen.